All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Well, this is a bit of an odd week.
Yeah.
Originally, I was going to name this episode One Man Down.
Uh-huh.
And then it's still kind of One Man Down.
Yeah, so
it went
originally
from no show to a show minus one.
Right.
To a show with all three of us.
Right.
To a show with a different minus one.
Right.
But still one, very relevant to this week's episode.
Originally, I was not supposed to be here today.
That's right.
And it would be the OG and Scapegoat show.
Right? It sounds like a terrible comic book.
And then Scapegoat regrettably had to bail, but I was able to actually make it.
So there you go.
So it kind of flip-flopped.
And I, somehow the constant.
OG, the constant. Yes. And yeah, so you have arrived at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 280.
Or 290, whatever.
Oh, 290. Now, I was stressing the 80 out because then you would usually pop in and say 88, 89.
Right. No, 90.
However, it's incorrect, so it's just 90.
Right.
So, episode 290.
Yes.
Leaving a scant 10 episodes until 300.
Very exciting.
It's 10 weeks.
That is 10 weeks.
I mean, that's
although
like
it's probably not going to be 10 weeks.
Two
probably
going
to be a little more than that.
Maybe. Yeah. Likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
If today's debacle was any indication.
Right.
Yes, and we're calling this one One.
Right, because duh.
Well, we'll get to that later on in the news. OG, why don't we get right into the news, because there is a hell of a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
So we've been starting off the news segment the past couple of episodes with trailer talk.
Which is kind of interesting, you know, it's kind of
like trailer trash, really.
Well, it's kind of appropriate, because, you know, it's before the feature.
Right, yes, exactly.
There's some trailers.
Some trailers.
So that's what we're doing. Coming attractions.
There you go, coming attractions.
Before the feature.
So which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about The Wolverine.
Okay.
Because the other one, I'm just meh. So new Wolverine trailer out.
Very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Answers a lot of questions.
Yep.
The big question, of course, is what was Jean Grey's role going to be in the film?
Uh-huh.
And as it looks like, Nightmare.
Yeah, certainly that.
I mean, I suppose it could become more, but it looks like it's Nightmare.
But, I mean, it was really a well-done trailer. They don't give everything away, but they give enough of it away for where you want to see more. I'm not sold on the scuttlebutt that Silver Samurai is a robot.
He looks like a Transformer.
Yeah,
his arm even kind of transforms when he swings the sword.
Yeah, but he could still be a dude driving it.
I think it's going to end up being something robotic. I just have this bad feeling.
Yeah?
Maybe it'll work, but I just got a bad feeling.
I'm thinking like Exo Squad.
I know.
Oh, like Iron Man, I guess, would be even more appropriate.
We'll see.
Okay.
There was also a lot of talking about who the mutant with the tongue and the face peeling was in the trailer. I don't think it's anybody of significance.
Viper.
Is that who that's supposed to be?
I'm not sure. I think I had heard that at one point.
See, I had heard that it was no one of significance. That it was just random mutant.
Someone made up?
B, yeah.
Okay. Maybe it is.
X, because, you know.
Mutant X. No, he's not in it.
Exactly. So there's the Wolverine trailer. The other big trailer this week, Man of Steel. Well, now, maybe, I don't entirely agree with the crickets.
Well, I was going to say, I thought that was only a sentiment that I probably had, but...
Well, here's
biased.
Here's my thing. It's looking less and less like a Superman movie.
Exactly.
Which is making it more and more interesting to me. Does that make sense?
No, because if you just removed Superman from it,
right,
it could be an amazing movie.
Sure. Could be Zod the movie.
It couldn't. Well, I wouldn't even say it's Zod the movie. I think the concept of, you know, a war on an alien planet and someone launches a kid here and Zod comes to find the kid and so on and so forth. And kid grows up and they're hunting him down. You even fight me. That's like a cool concept.
Right.
The problem I have with it is the Superman part of it.
Well,
you know, the sole survivor of Krypton, which, by the way, rumor has it, no exploding Krypton.
Okay, well, look, I mean, you can't argue the sole survivor of Krypton story because we've known for Zod is, it's not like Zod's a new thing.
No.
For the movie.
No.
What's the girl's name?
I don't know.
Whatever her the hell her name is.
I'm sure they'll change it.
But I was having this conversation with someone online today.
I think it is.
Joe Caramanga.
Caramanga.
Yeah, friend of ours.
Sure.
Works for Marvel. Does a lot of work for Marvel, actually, but good man.
Caramanga.
But
what he said was,
you know, I've never actually heard him referred to as Superman in any of the trailers. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not really a Superman movie or something to that extent.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just saying stuff now to make ourselves more comfortable with it.
So again, my opinion is I think the trailer looks really cool. I'm taking interest in the movie. It's just looking less and less like a Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And more and more like something else. I don't know what the something else is.
Right.
It's just not Superman.
I'm still looking forward to The Hangover 3 more than Superman.
Oh, no. Oh, for shame. Now, see, that's just silliness.
No.
That's silly
talk. I am. I'm actually looking forward to it more than the Superman.
Bah. You.
It's okay. I'm still going to go see the Superman. I'm sure I'll see it opening day. I'm sure I'll see it in... glorious IMAX 3D or whatever scapegoat night decide. Probably that's what we've been doing lately. So probably that's what we'll do.
Know, I mean, assuming he doesn't, you know, get stuck somewhere and doesn't show up.
Wow, just, hurtful.
Just saying.
Wow, you know,
it could happen.
He's going to address your mocking him next week.
Where he's going to address it on Twitter because you know,
Tweeviews.
I'm not. I don't want to call him out or anything because he's not here to defend himself.
Wow.
But I think he's done one Tweeview. That's all.
One Tweeview,
and it was Tinkerbell. So you know.
Wow.
I'm just putting it out there.
Scapegoat.
You know, I put my neck out there for scapegoat.
Scapegoat, absent and feeling it.
I put my neck out there for scapegoat.
Uh-huh.
I hyped him up on Twitter. I tried to get him some followers, and then, you know.
Well, we'll have
performing.
To...
That's all I'm saying.
Scapegoat might have to have a stern
down.
Talking to. Yeah.
All right.
We might have to partner with Scapegoat and discuss some of his opportunities.
There you go.
There, to put it in language that Scapegoat can easily understand.
Can you understand?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on with the news.
Sure.
Now
that Coming Attractions has been done.
That's right. Now the main feature.
Let's all go to the lobby.
No,
let's
no
all
lobby.
Go to the lobby.
There's no snacks.
Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a snack.
No Junior Mints, no matter how refreshing they are.
I never liked Junior Mints.
Oh, I love Junior Mints. Very refreshing. Warehouse 13. Canceled.
Yeah, saw that coming.
Well,
are they going to actually end it?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
It's getting a final season. But you say you saw that coming. But why do you say you saw that coming?
Because it's been running for a while,
right?
Kind of under the radar,
right?
And I'm surprised that it lasted this long.
But it hasn't really. It's been under your radar. But as far as sci-fi is concerned,
it's been under a lot of people's radar.
Listen to the quote from sci-fi.
Okay.
Warehouse 13 has been an incredible signature series for us.
What are they going to say? It's a piece of shit?
No, no. He said, where's that? Oh, I don't have the right quote. There was another quote that said that it continues to be one of their highest rated shows on the platform.
Sure.
Sure
it is. One of the highest rated shows against what?
Well, right. Okay.
Against
right.
Shark Octopus whatever. Yeah, right. Whatever movie of the week starring Tiffany and Debbie Gibson.
Shark Piranha Octocrocodile.
Yes. Exactly.
So the point is, why cancel it?
I dare you to say that again.
Shark Piranha Octocrocodile.
Wow. I can't believe you actually did it.
Why cancel it? That's the question. A lot of people were very upset that it got canceled.
I would be one of them because I've heard it's very good. I've only seen the first couple of episodes.
It's really good. And I think Flick Dude put out there, or Ken, friend of the show, put out there, when are they just going to change the name of the channel to...
Suckfy.
To Defiance, but FY in the middle.
Yeah.
Because it seems like everything is being sacrificed for Defiance, for the most part. So
Defiance is meh.
So Warehouse 13 will run out this season, six episode final season, and then it's done.
Maybe Netflix will pick it up.
Maybe. Netflix seems to be interested in everything.
I know.
Apparently. Stop it with the Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
What?
It's not going to happen.
You just said it, sir.
I know.
That's why the music played.
Yeah,
there.
I get it.
What? Why did you bring it up?
Because.
You never bring it up on your own. I have to con you into it.
It was in another story last week, and what E-Rock was? Posted it on my Facebook page. Ooh, look.
What was?
Some interest in that show in regards to Netflix. It's just never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
I don't understand. What's not going to happen?
Netflix is not going to pick up the show that Serenity was based on. Let's move on.
It's not going to happen because they all have jobs.
No, actually, they don't all have jobs. It's
really?
Just not going to happen.
Who doesn't have a job?
Adam Baldwin. What's he doing?
Oh, well, besides Psychos.
Summer Glau. What's she doing?
She's on that. She's on
Summer Glau is on what?
She's on a show.
Is she?
Yes. What is it?
I don't know.
Look it up.
She was on Alphas. That got canceled.
No, she was on some... I thought she was
Marina Bakarin is on a show.
Homeland.
Right.
Captain Fillion.
Is on a show. He's the one.
Castle.
Right? Yeah. Sean Maher. Nothing.
Gina Torres is
on something.
Hannibal.
Right. Okay. Sean Maher.
Jules Date is hanging out in Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's
nothing.
Sean? Who's that?
Sean Maher. He was Simon.
Simon, yeah.
And I guess, you know.
All right, I will reset then, and I will say the majority.
Half of them are working, half of them are not.
There you go.
So I just don't think it's going to happen.
And those other guys are dead.
Yeah.
So
true. Very true.
Oh, did I just spoil Serenity?
I don't think you spoiled anything.
I'm gonna.
Rumors circulating around the interwebs today, or not today, but the last couple days, that we might finally see the Dinobots in upcoming Transformers 4.
Ugh.
Now... this is interesting only because I care about the Dinobots. And because I want to say it was for Transformers 2, although it may have been for 3. There was that viral video that popped online that I'm pretty sure had Grimlock in it. Although I could be grossly mistaken. But
I remember something
recall
about
that. So we'll see if that actually plays itself out. But
okay.
I'm down with the Dinobots. Down with the Dinobots. Arrow.
Still on.
Yeah, still on. Coming back for season 2. Interview this week with Colton Hayes, who I believe, who you would know as Roy Harper.
Okay.
In an interview with, I think it was MTV, says a few of the most important DC characters are going to be coming to Arrow and quite possibly working on a team together. Now... further on in the Arrow, in the MTV article, they said, oh, maybe it's Team Arrow, which Team Arrow was Green Arrow It was Speedy, but it wasn't original Speedy. It was the girl Speedy.
Yeah, chick Speedy.
Right. It was Red Arrow.
Uh-huh.
It was the other Green Arrow, who was the...
Connor Hawk.
And it was...
Why do I know that?
And it was Black Canary.
Ah.
I do not think that that's where they're going.
I don't think so.
I think, if anything, they've already sort of teased Nightwing.
Uh-huh.
We've heard rumor of Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that Roy Harper is going to become Red Arrow. I don't think he's going to become Speedy. I think he's going to go straight to Red Arrow.
Speedy.
And I think with Deathstroke becoming a regular next season.
And he's on drugs. He's Speedy.
Actually, he's not on drugs. He sells drugs, but he's not on drugs. The sister's on drugs, yeah. And her nickname is Speedy.
Yeah.
Which leads them to maybe convert her at some point.
Right.
Maybe. And I think maybe Deathstroke will kind of be part of that team, possibly, since he's been bumped up to a series regular in season two as well.
Gotcha.
So I don't think it's going to be... And I don't think Black Canary is Black Canary in season two. If anything, that's the tease for season three, assuming the show survives.
But, you get that statue yet?
No. No, but...
Looked into that statue?
I have looked into that statue, and might be able to get that statue from Superpower Collectibles.
No, it's way too early for
way
that.
Way too early for that. Let's talk about Star Wars.
There's a coupon code.
There is a coupon code.
Just saying.
We could do it now if you want. You know,
no.
Break the format.
Nah.
Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. Let's talk about it. This is a huge week for news, and that is a huge piece of it, as far as I'm concerned. Lucasfilm and Disney tell us that, I believe, in 2015.
That's right.
In somehow or some way revolving around the year of Star Wars, they're going to launch a brand new animated series.
On Disney XD.
On Disney XD, and it will have a 2-hour pilot, I believe.
Correct.
An animated series that takes place between episodes 3 and 4.
Correct.
Now, here's something I don't know. Is it 2D or 3D? Like Clone Wars or like Tartakovsky?
CGI.
Okay, so it's 3D. Not 3D and put the glasses on.
No,
but, you know.
It's Clone Wars.
Okay. Here's the best part about this. The best part about this. They are using Ralph McQuarrie's designs.
Correct.
For the original Star Wars. The stuff George said, oh, that's not quite right. We're going to tweak it a little and make it. But the stuff that he conceived for the first movie is what they're going to use to design this cartoon. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Amazing. Which means if there's any kind of God, the toy line will kind of turn into a McQuarrie toy line sort of a little bit in a way. And I just think those designs were killer.
Now, I know you mentioned the period that it's supposed to take place in, but did you hear what it's supposed to be about, I guess? It's supposed to somehow reveal what happens to Luke and Leia, how they were separated, and I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll be kind of separate stories that eventually come together at some point.
In episode 3, 4, 5.
But that's what they're teasing, at least. So.
Okay. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, that works.
Dave Filoni is on it.
That's right.
And a whole bunch of showrunners that Scapegoat really wanted to talk about today.
Greg Wiseman.
Yeah.
Do you know Greg Wiseman?
I know him.
Gargoyles.
Yeah.
I mean, Young Justice, Spectacular Spider-Man. But
fuck
all
it.
That aside,
Gargoyles. And he was like a kid when he did Gargoyles.
So there you go. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
You should be.
I think that's going to be pretty awesome. I don't know that I'm still excited about them canning Clone Wars, but if this is our first foray into something new, absolutely.
It had to. And isn't there still a season coming out of Clone Wars?
Oh, I don't think so. No, that's done.
Well, there's stuff that hasn't been released
yet. Doesn't matter.
Is it going directly to...
I don't know. Oh. But I haven't heard if it's being released in any capacity
yet. They teased it. They showed some of it at Star Wars Weekend.
Well, there was some of that. Maybe it'll go just online and then probably eventually to DVD, but I haven't heard confirmation of what that's going to be.
Okay.
Let's talk about probably the biggest reveal this week, or the biggest talk this week,
right.
Which will be, I believe, further explored in our Game Stuff segment this week.
And also, I know that Scapegoat is itching to talk about
he will chime in next week when he's here.
Scapegoat, I believe Scapegoat would benefit by calling the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And leaving us his positions on these topics that he missed because he was stuck somewhere else.
That's right. All right. So, real quick, before we get into the console itself, obviously yesterday was the press release or the press conference for Microsoft Xbox One, the new console.
Right.
As part of that, or just slightly after, we heard that there is going to be a direct-to-TV or a TV Halo TV series.
Direct-to-Xbox.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Right.
Yes.
Direct to the console.
Correct. Produced by Steven Spielberg.
Correct.
Who spoke at the event.
That's
via taped recording.
Right. So that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Now, did they also announce the Halo? Was it 5 at this point?
I don't know.
4.5 or something?
I don't. They may have. I didn't see the whole thing.
I know there was another Call of Duty game announced.
Let's stick to the system for a minute. Let's hit the bullet points because gamers have lost their mind as of yesterday.
I've heard that it's mostly
bad.
Disappointment.
Mostly bad.
Mostly nothing exciting.
They showed no game footage. They only showed cutscenes.
Right.
Number one. Number two, no backwards compatibility.
Yep.
None. Zero.
Right.
Like Red Dead Redemption? Well, if they don't make it for the one, you're SOL.
Right.
Right? Number three, hold on to your hats, kids. If you want to play a used game, you got to pay a fee.
You got to pay a fee, yeah.
You know, and depending on what the game is, and so, there's this whole thing, and it's like they're going after GameStop.
I want to say, I wish I knew who said this on Twitter. It might have been Coke Logic, so this might be reiterated in GameStop, but I think he said it today, actually. Who put together the announcement for the Xbox One? Was it Sony? Because if so, it's the best smear campaign ever.
Yeah, because the fact that you may have to... Each game will come with a unique code.
Right.
And if you don't have this code, will it be identified with your account? And if you're not signed into your account on that Xbox, you can't play the game.
You know who else it's going? It's going after GameStop. It's going after GameFly.
Yep.
It's a dick move. On Microsoft's part.
I got to agree.
That's just a shitty move to the gaming community. And what I don't understand is, since not all the games are developed in-house by Microsoft, it's a dick move to the game developers.
Yep. Yep.
There is an incentive to maybe not create some games for that console if you're a developer.
Sure.
Right? Am I interpreting that incorrectly?
You're interpreting it exactly correctly.
Maybe I am interpreting it incorrectly, because if it's not encouraging you to get a used game, is it encouraging you to buy a new game?
Well, that's their theory.
Maybe that's good for the game companies?
Well, that's their theory. It really is worse for guys
for
like GameStop and GameFly and
the consumer.
Yeah.
I would say that 90%, now I'm a PlayStation guy anyway, but I would say in general, 90% of my games that I buy are used. Are used.
Yeah. So I think they're getting a lot of pushback about the stuff, and most of the announcement had nothing to do with games.
None of it. They said they were going to save a lot of the games
for E3. Yeah, but
still,
you know, a lot of the rest. Well, it has a Blu-ray player in it.
Right.
Well, it's about freaking time.
Right.
It also, the controller is slightly modified, but it's generally the same.
Something
the box
about...
looks like an old cable box.
Yeah, it's kind of
like
ugly.
A circa late 90s cable box. Yeah. It's a terrible design.
Something also about Kinect and always being on or
Kinect
something like
always
that.
Always on. Yeah, you need Kinect in order to operate it or something like that. Also a terrible idea.
Yeah, see, I unfortunately didn't follow it all too well, and I was banking.
Drunk.
On, you know.
Oh, you mean scapegoat.
Scapegoat to reel me in with the bullet points.
Maybe we should change the name of this episode to Scapegoat. Where is Scapegoat? Where in the world is Scapegoat?
He will never miss an episode again. He'll just not agree to be here.
Yeah,
he'll just never be like, maybe I'll show. He'll just...
You just need to stop. You're going to push Scapegoat out the door.
No, I look. I'm afraid to push him out the door because I'm afraid of what he might take with him.
I'm just saying.
So that's the kind of the gist of the one announcement, I think, right? And again, we'll talk about it more next week. Coke Logic will talk about it a little bit more this week.
Okay.
Let's go into the last big thing for this segment.
Sure.
Real quick, I finally saw Iron Man 3.
Oh, yay.
And I liked it a lot. Good. I actually thought it was a really fitting ending. If there wasn't going to be
another Iron Man.
But I have no issue with the Mandarin debacle. I actually thought it was really well executed and I was down with it. And any of the other silly criticisms that people put out there, I had no problems with the movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Now
let's move on.
Now, if you have not seen Star Trek Into Darkness,
yes,
you need to fast forward this a bit.
Right.
Because I'm going to lay it on the line.
Right.
I thought the movie was horse shit.
See, now, I haven't heard it quite referred to as horse shit. I've heard either people loved it.
Because they don't know any better.
Or people were so-so on it.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything terribly
scathing. Here we go. I'm going to lay it out to you point by point.
Okay, go.
Point one. And I'm ruining it. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Benedict Cumberbatch is playing Khan Noonien Singh.
Yes.
A North Indian Sikh.
Right.
Played by a pasty white English guy.
Right.
Right. No one has a problem with this?
Now, do they refer to him as a North Indian?
It doesn't matter how they refer to him.
Right.
It already is established who he is. This is not some radical new universe.
Okay.
This is the Doc Brown theory of time travel states that when Nero came back in his ship in the first movie,
right,
when Kirk's dad was killed, that's where the split in the timeline occurred. So guess what? Khan already in frozen in space for probably 180 years at this point. Okay. So guess what? He doesn't radically change race
right
while that occurs.
Okay.
Okay? That's number one. Number two, I am flabbergasted about the way J.J. Abrams is ham-handedly shoving Kirk and Spock's relationship down my throat.
Okay.
The relationship that he's trying to emulate in his second movie is a relationship that is at the end of the original Star Trek performers.
So he's progressed the relationship.
Yeah. It's been 3 years since the first movie, in movie time also.
Right.
So we're not privy to what happened in those 3 years, but they were not out in space because the end of Into Darkness is when they're leaving for their five-year exploratory mission. So they're 3 years what? In school together? Is that what it is? And is that how they form such a tight emotional bond with a Vulcan? I don't care that he's half Vulcan or not, half Vulcan or whatever. He cries. I'm spoiling it. When Kirk dies in the movie, Spock, a tear rolls down his cheek. Now, let's talk about that death for a minute. J.J. Abrams also in his wisdom, and it makes me terrified about what he could do to Star Wars now. He took the Wrath of Khan, not Space Seed.
Did Abrams write the script?
I believe he had a hand in it.
But I don't think he actually wrote the
whole
script.
Matter.
Okay.
Stops at the director.
Okay.
He took from Wrath of Khan,
right,
not Space Seed, which is the episode of the original series that introduced Khan, which is the timeline that we're in now in the Abrams movies. He took from Wrath of Khan the death of Spock scene,
right,
where the ship isn't going to get a power up in time in order to get away. And so Spock goes into the radioactive area in order to fix the part of the ship that will make it go.
Right, right.
I think it's the gas pedal.
The thruster.
Right, in the nuclear room.
Right.
Well, instead of Spock doing it, it's Kirk this time who does exactly the same thing. He knocks out Scotty.
Right.
In this one, it's Scotty. The other one, it's McCoy. In the original, Spock knocks out McCoy, puts his thing in him, and he goes and saves the ship, trapped behind a single pane of glass. What is that glass made of?
Magic.
It could be lead, but that's not the point. The point is, it's exactly the same scene right down to the dialogue.
Okay.
From Wrath of Khan. It was disgusting. It was embarrassing, and it was... I felt cheap. It was like, oh, well, watch this. I'm going to turn the tables and kill Kirk. And then in one of the most awful, awful sequences ever, for no reason, McCoy is examining the effects of Khan's blood on a dead Tribble. And the dead Tribble comes back to life. So guess what they do?
What?
They inject Kirk with Khan's blood, and he comes back to life. It was terrible. Awful. Let's go on. Let's take the fact that J.J. Abrams had 3 seasons of Star Trek original series to choose from. Now, I say original season because that's the timeline we're in with these characters.
Sure.
Beginning of their career, right? 3 seasons. What does he do? He goes for the obvious choice of Khan right in the second movie. The obvious choice. Why? Why couldn't you make... Why? Gary Mitchell would have been instantly a better story because it would have slowly built that relationship between Kirk and Spock, and not this ham-handed Spock is crying. His whole fucking planet blew up in the first movie, including his mother, and he didn't cry. But a guy, a human he knows for a few years in school, tears rolling down his cheek. It's such hoke. Such hoke. I hated it.
All right.
There's more. I'm cutting it short.
Oh, okay.
But there's way more. There's way more. I'm cutting it short.
Well, let's revisit it again next week.
Sure, we can
do it. We'll do part two. I feel like I'm getting yelled at. I'm in the principal's office.
It's your fault.
It's my fault? What did I do, hold J.J. Abrams' hand?
You should have.
I don't touch his hand.
With that, OG, let's take our first break, and we'll be right back with part two of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291. And leave a significant pause.
You have to leave that giant pregnant yeah. pause there, because otherwise people will be like, it's not 291.
Before we move on with the show, next Friday.
Yes.
At Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey.
You can catch up with me and OG.
That's right.
As we host.
No.
Oh, no?
No.
As we sponsor.
No. As we show up at.
Oh.
As we show up
as
at.
As we attend.
The G.I. Joe Custom Show.
We'll be making a personal appearance.
That's right. Brought to us by Suburban Vinyl. Benny from Tenacious Toys curating the event. Hasbro and the Loyal Subjects, who worked with Hasbro to put out those platform toys.
Nice.
30 plus artists, I hear, are going to be there.
Wow.
A bunch
sketchbook that day.
Yeah, word. A bunch of custom toys, a bunch of props and stuff from the film are going to be on display. I hear there may be food.
Where are they going to fit all that?
I have no idea. I don't know.
That nice barbershop that's next door?
I don't know.
I don't know what that barbershop is, but I'd plug them now if I knew their name, because they are awesome.
So yeah, be sure to, I have a link to it online. It'll be in the episode notes as well. Come out next Friday. I think it's going to be a really good time. It's from 4 to 9 p.m. It's an epic 5-hour event. I shan't be there at 4, but
I would like to be there at 4. I'm going to see if I can arrange to be there earlier.
I hope to be there like 5:30-ish. 5:30.
Yeah.
But definitely come out. It's going to be an awesome event. A lot of artists participating in it. A lot of artists that we know and are friends of the show.
Yeah.
So come out. It's Waldwick, New Jersey. Suburban Vinyl is the shop. Check out the link in the show notes, and hopefully we will see you there.
Including the Suck Lord.
No, I don't think he's going to be there.
And Banksy.
I don't think he's going to be there either.
And J.Ru.
I don't think any of them are going to be there.
Okay. Let me see if I can hit. Wobots.
No.
Okay.
Let's just move
forward. John Paul Kaiser.
Let's just move. No. Oh, no. Let's move forward.
Wait, no, I got one. Dickie.
No.
No?
No.
Dickie Page?
Chris Dolfer is going to be there. Oh, okay. He's got a piece in the show.
Nice.
Blazing Brickhouse is going to be there. She's got a piece in the show.
Mr. Monk
has a piece in the show. There's a lot of people
that have
stuff going on.
I like people.
30 plus artists.
30 plus.
Wow. Let's move on, though.
Hi, this is Tom Onabox Groves, and I just watched the season finale of Doctor Who, and I was curious that if the Doctor's tomb has the same looking control room as the current Doctor, does that mean that this is the last regeneration, or that he won't regenerate anymore, and this is it after Matt Smith, or what? If you can clarify things for me, or if you can tell us your insight, that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Oh, we're moving on with that?
Well, yeah, look, people call in, we should respond.
Okay.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the season finale. Yeah. If you haven't seen the season finale, you probably maybe want to skip around a little bit now. Although some of it may or may not have been spoiled in the voicemail itself. So oops on us.
Oops.
Who cares? So addressing your question, Onabox.
By the way, can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Little Fifi Sue stuff returning.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it really is. No, I swear it really, really is. In June, it's returning.
All right.
She wrote me. She has some stuff, and we're getting it together.
Okay.
So I just want to put that out there. And you know what? It's not Fifi's fault. It really is all my fault that we haven't had any.
I don't doubt that.
Well, that's good. It's good for you not to doubt.
So regarding your question about the control room in the grave, in the season finale, yes, it did look like the 11th Doctor's, TARDIS. So is he the last regeneration? Well, clearly not. Because there's that big reveal with John Hurt at the end of the episode. Although the speculation is that he's actually, for you Who fans, he's actually the Doctor in between the 8th and 9th Doctor.
Eighth and a half Doctor?
Yeah, which actually makes Matt Smith the 12th Doctor, which according to original Doctor Who lore, would be his last regeneration. Although I believe there's a workaround to that, and that they will explore that going forward. Because Matt Smith has already confirmed he'll be back for a full season 8.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So is
he's out? Already back for a confirmed season 8.
It's not season 8.
It is season 8.
It's not season
8. It's season
the
8.
The show has been on since the 50s.
It's season 8 of the new series.
Is it called The New Doctor Who?
BBC refers to it as season 8.
Ah.
So I'm referring to it as season 8.
BBC can be wrong.
BBC makes the show.
Doesn't mean they're right.
If they're calling it season 8, I'm going with BBC.
Fine.
So
let them off the hook. That's what they run all over you.
So Matt Smith will be back. I think there's a workaround to the 12th regeneration, although technically I guess he is the 12th Doctor. If John Hurt is in fact the actual 9th Doctor, of course pushing back Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant as the 10th and 11th Doctor as
well.
And
isn't there something special or something coming up? Or
that's going to be the kickoff to the new season. Oh. November 23rd is the 50th right. anniversary, which we already know will have John Hurt in it. David Tennant is returning for that as well. And I believe a bunch of the old Doctors coming back as well.
Wow.
Some of the old companions. We know that Billy Piper is coming back as Rose Tyler. Amy will not be back. Amy
Why?
Because she is dead, double dead ski.
But she is hot ski.
But she's dead, double dead ski. Along with Rory, both of them are dead. So, yeah. So look forward to that. And I hope that answers your question. I know it's not much of an answer, but you know as much as I do, I think. So.
Speaking of gorgeous redheads.
Yes.
Did you watch Game of Thrones this week?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and?
She wasn't on there.
She was in the episode, but...
Did you just look into her eyes?
No, stop.
The first time I had ice cream.
Enough.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I get lost sometimes.
Let's move forward.
In her eyes.
Uh-huh.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics. I've got a bunch.
Actually, I got two pieces of comic news, that I want to share.
Let's do that first.
Since we had a stacked news bit in the beginning. You all right there?
Yeah.
You drop your beer?
I did.
So,
because I'm drunk. You're drunk, well, Brian. Well,
you'd have to be.
You're drunk, Brian.
Brian, you're drunk, Brian. ElfQuest.
Yeah, and?
Ring any bells?
Yeah.
It's kind of a unique situation for a comic. It's been around for decades.
4 billion years.
Yes, and uniquely written and drawn by the Peenies. Remember the Peenies?
That sounds dirty.
No, the Peenies. It's Wendy Peeny and her husband, Mr. Peeny.
Mr. Wendy Peeny.
I can't remember what his name is. And Ever since DC's license, DC had the book for a while.
Who had it before DC? Was it Eclipse?
I don't know if it was Eclipse. It was some. I don't think it was Eclipse. I think it was independent. Some another independent.
I thought it was Eclipse for some reason.
I think it was Eclipse.
Anyway, somebody had it. DC had it. It lapsed.
It's been around for a really, really long time.
70s, right?
Yeah, I think late 70s or early 80s at the least. Very unique style. Very, very epic, epic long story.
Elves are actually a little bit short in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Not tall.
No.
Not tall blondes.
No. They're short blondes.
Short blondes.
Yes. So DC had it for a while, and no one has been able to get a hold of it because the only printings of it are in the second market and that kind of stuff. And all of it, for some reason, is really expensive to come by.
Right.
Because it's like one of those classic series, I guess, that everybody kind of wants to. I'd love to have it on my shelf.
Sure.
I don't have a single bit of it, I realized when I read this article. Well, now Dark Horse has confirmed that replacing the Star Wars license. No.
Which isn't really anywhere because they still have it.
I'm kidding. Replacing nothing but adding to their already impressive lineup.
Yes.
They have the ElfQuest license.
Nice.
So they're going to be reprinting the entirety of ElfQuest. I'm hoping in, you know what I hope they do? In what you call it, omnibuses.
That would be nice.
That would be great.
I like that scale too.
Yeah,
That scale would work for ElfQuest.
Yeah,
I think.
It would. Because you get a big chunk out of it. And then in addition to that, they're going to produce ElfQuest The Final Quest.
Okay.
Which is going to supposedly wrap up the year saga.
Final Quest in a movie?
Yeah, maybe. So that's really exciting for old school comic people. It's,
sure.
It's certainly an interesting piece.
Maybe I'll actually read it.
I think you would behoove.
I don't think I've ever actually read it. I know it.
Really?
I disgustingly know it because for a while, especially in the 90s, couldn't not know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was everywhere.
I think that's when DC had.
But I never actually read a single issue of it.
And then the other piece of news I had was kind of exciting because they're friends of the show.
Sure.
Art Balthazar and Franco Arrivella.
Yeah.
I just call him Franco.
Okay, fair enough.
The guys who did Tiny Titans for DC.
Right.
Now, I don't know if Tiny Titans has ended.
I'm not sure.
Or not. I'd have to check on that. I'll let you know next week because previews is next week. So if there's no Tiny Titans, we know it's over.
Then we'll know it's over.
But I thought that might have something to do with Lil Gotham coming into play, which is also a really good book, I have to say. A little funny, cute book. Well, anyway, Art Balthazar and Franco, not to be undone, have decided to go in a very different direction. With Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Okay.
So they're going to basically take their style to the Hellboy universe, and it's going to be like Hellboy and all the BPRD characters you love. And this came about because apparently Mignola wanted something that kids could read that involved Hellboy.
Okay.
Because Hellboy's kind of thick and deep and dark
and scurry
stuff. So this is kind of a lighter version that maybe kids will catch on to. But if the promo art is any indication,
right,
I can tell you at least one adult who will be reading
cute.
That book. I'm reading that
it's
book.
It's cute.
So that's very exciting. Those are the two pieces of news. And then of course, we have books.
Right.
Okay, OG, ready to go?
Sure.
I got Talon number 8.
Okay.
James Tynion the 4th.
Right.
And Miguel Sepulveda.
Okay.
Are continuing to tell this great story in the DC universe. Now,
I unfortunately have not read any of my books this week with the exception of one.
That's
so.
Fine. I'm not giving a whole lot away, and I'm not going to be spoiling books for people, even though one of the biggest criticisms we get are, why aren't you spoiling the... Well, no, not they don't say spoiling. Why aren't you telling us what happens in the books? Because I'm telling you it came out. I'm telling you I think it's cool and that you should check it out.
Also, I'm pulling back the curtain.
Uh-oh.
We record on Wednesday.
Well, there isn't time to read the book.
Shortly after both of us get home from work.
Right.
So 99.9% of the time, we haven't had a chance to read all of the books, if any of the books.
Right.
So, there.
I'll say this about Talon. I don't see it going the distance.
No.
I think it's spun out of a really popular book, but I don't think it's going the distance.
No, I have mixed feelings about the book. I liked it, but I'm just kind of,
By the way, Have you heard anything about Scott Snyder and Jim Lee doing a book together? Maybe a Superman book?
I did hear something about it.
All right, DC. We get it. Really? Two-page spread?
What's wrong with it? I'll read it.
I know you'll read it.
I'll read it just because
of Snyder. Scott Snyder and
Jim. I hate Superman, and I will read that book.
Jim Lee and Scott Williams? How are you not reading that?
I hear you.
No, you're not reading. How are you not reading it? You know, I'm not reading it, but
I'll read it.
You're certainly reading it, and you'll be able to tell us all about it.
I will.
I, in addition, also in the DC universe, sir, it's a big week for DC. I got Batman: The Dark Knight
number 20.
Number 20. Yes. So this is exploring the darker side of the Batman. Mythical, magical, monstrual sort of side of Batman. This is featuring Greg Hurwitz and Szymon Kudrowski.
What you said.
On the art. And, another book I think that is probably sorely lacking its original creator, I hate to say.
Okay.
Remember that guy?
I do. Wasn't it Finch?
Sure was. Moving on, Batman Incorporated.
Hold on, before you move on.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I really like the Mad Hatter storyline. I've been down with it.
It's not that I'm not down with it. I think that part of the buzz of another Batman book when this one came out was the fact that Finch was on it. And that even that Finch was writing it or was writing the other one before they changed over, however that works out. But in any event, I just don't think it's lived up to the hype thus far.
All right.
Batman Incorporated, Chris Burnham and George Lucas.
That's number 11, right?
Wait a minute.
No, I don't believe
George. I don't think maybe that's not pronounced George.
I don't believe that's no, that's Jorge.
Oh, Jorge. Oh. Jorge Lucas and his film El Battle de Stars or something. If I spoke Spanish, that would have been a hell of a joke. Whew. Featuring the Batman of Japan.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting, certainly. I dig this book because I think it's hysterically funny.
I've only been reading that book.
It's issue 11, by the way.
I've only been reading that book since Damian died to kind of just follow the fallout.
Okay. I don't know that that has fallout from it anymore, sir.
It's still... No, because you know why? Because Talia's storyline is still kind of...
Oh.
Dealing with him being dead, yep. So...
A terrific book that probably you are not reading, and boy, you really ought to be, in my opinion. The Batman Beyond Unlimited number 16 also came out this week.
Right.
A whole host of names associated with this one because there's all different stories in it. It's really a great book.
I don't doubt it.
If you liked Batman Beyond the cartoon, you should be in love with this book because this book goes much further than the cartoon series ever went. I mean... You have all of that Justice League of the future in here.
Right,
and, the art is really great. All sorts of artists, all sorts of writers working on
Did you read Batman? Are you up to date on Batman? Straight up Batman?
No, I'm not up to date.
Can I drop a little spoiler on you?
Yeah, yeah.
So in the last issue of Batman, which I guess was 20, he's dealing...
Gay?
He's dealing with suit issues.
No. Yeah.
Suit issues.
Yes.
And
wardrobe malfunction.
Wardrobe malfunctions. And he dons the Batman Beyond suit.
Well, that's interesting.
And he's like, he asks Lucius, he's like, and how come this isn't, how come we're not using this? And he's like, oh, it's a prototype. It's far too expensive for us to use right now. Or something.
Expensive?
Something like that.
Erratic?
Something. No, I believe it was too costly or something like that. But it was like oh, that's a cute little
homage.
Little how do you do?
Well, that just means that at some point
they're merging continuity. At some point,
maybe a Batman book you should be reading: Batman Lil Gotham number 2,
right?
Dustin Nguyen and Derek Fridolfs.
Okay, if you
Why
say
does
so.
No one have the name Jones or Smith in comic books?
I have no idea.
It's all these guys from all over the place. Anyway, very stylized, cutesy book about the Batman universe. If you haven't checked it out yet, you're really doing yourself a disservice. It's really cute. It looks like this one deals with Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn.
Big shock there.
Uh-huh. And that's always a good gathering to have together. Sure. Really unique art style. Really, really funny, terrific stuff. You should definitely check it out. Very cute book. I actually picked it up by accident, the first one, and I was like, oh, this is cute. I'm going to read this. And I read it and really liked it. So, finally, for me in comics, from Marvel Comics, this would be Daredevil, The Man Without Fear, number 26.
Now, is this the issue in which Bullseye comes back?
I don't know. Why? Has that happened yet?
Or he's again? Coming back.
Oh, great. Mark Waid and Chris Samnee.
But in a very interesting way.
Are the story to... Is he going to be inside of Daredevil?
He's
going
like to be... No,
in the shell?
No, he's like... He's in an iron lung and he's... I don't know. I read about it on USA Today.
Javier Rodriguez did the color art.
Yes.
Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are listed as the storytellers.
Oh.
So I'm guessing they are both writing and doing art. I've never heard of Mark Waid doing art before, so that's interesting. It's so frustrating to have been reading a book since you were, I don't know, first reading comics and to just, it's just how I feel about Uncanny X-Men at the end.
Okay.
Where I was just like, for the love of God, please put us out of the misery of this book. Either redo it, bring it up to speed, or be done with it. Because you just can't have it both ways. Looks like Iron Man, Hulk, looks like a whole bunch of things happening in this book. I'm terrified to read it. I didn't like the last issue at all. This one looks no better. Very sad. Did you have other books, OG?
I do have a lot of other books, actually.
Wow.
Star Wars Legacy number 3, out this week from Dark Horse. Continues to be an awesome story.
Trader Waiter.
Arrow number 7, which is collecting the digital comics, but in the Arrow universe, also continues to be a really good story.
Ooh, Arrow.
Justice League number 20. Now, I haven't read Justice League since issue...
8 or 9 or 8
or something like that. But I'm interested because of the... There's that crossover that's going to be taking place shortly. Trinity.
Green Arrow gun coming back? Yeah,
no. Trinity is going to be taking going the Justice League crossover story. So I'm kind... And this is, I think, the kickoff to that.
Ugh.
So I'm checking it out. Fantastic Four number 8 out this week. Superior Spider-Man number 10 out this week. And X-Men Legacy number 11 is the other one that I want to mention. Because I've really been enjoying the X-Men Legacy book. Now, there you go. I got no trades.
I do.
I am tradeless.
When you see what I got, sir, you will want some trades.
That actually came out last week, didn't it?
No, sir. It came out this week.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I think that came out last week.
I don't think so, sir. I think it was this week.
Okay.
And if it was last week, we didn't talk about it last
week. We did not talk about it last
week. Scott Pilgrim, Volume 3, The Color Edition. Careful, OG. You know how you get with that word. It's going to run you $24.99. It's full of color.
Sure it is. That's a good thing.
It is. Looks like over 200 pages of Scott Pilgrim's story for you to soak up.
Lovely.
Sketch design work. Look at all the sketch and design work that went
into that O'Malley cat. He puts a lot of bonus goodness in there.
There is. I'd love to meet this dude. Have you ever met this guy?
I have not.
Never seen him at a convention, or if I have, I don't remember.
I believe he's a... I mean, I don't... This doesn't necessarily matter, but I believe he's a Canadian.
Oh, I thought you were going to... Well, yeah, I think he's a Canadian also. I thought you were going to say he was like... What's his name? The guy that created Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, God, no.
Because that would have been funny. A recluse, I thought, is where you were going there.
No.
But
no, I was more going that maybe he's never made it all the way down to a con that we've been to in our area.
That's a damn shame.
You know,
shame.
Maybe he's been to San Diego, I'm sure.
Right.
Probably Chicago. You know, that kind of thing.
I would love to meet this guy and talk about this book.
Sure.
I love the movie also.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Volume 3 in full color. Who's doing this? Oni Press is putting these out in color.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome, awesome book. And you should, if you have not checked it out based on our feedback alone. And while we're out there, let's throw another plug out for the movie. One of the best done comic book adaptation movies ever.
Scott Pilgrim? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
If you haven't seen it by now, shame on you. Go watch it.
Definitely go out.
It's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Oni Press, check it out. Scott Pilgrim, Color Edition, Volume 3.
And I think that's it, because we have no actual product today.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I actually had a product, but I didn't expect to be here.
And I thought I had something too, but then the first segment ran a little bit longer.
Should I tease it for next week?
No.
Why not?
No teasing.
Why not?
Because.
Because why?
Because then next week maybe something else comes up and you don't want to do it or
No, I'm not going to forget it.
Okay.
Jaina Solo.
Okay.
And with that, OG, let's take our final break. Big Kez Geek Stuff, episode 290. Pause. One.
Hi, this is Otto from the Pig Roast with Otto and George. You're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic. Akak!
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Microsoft held their press conference to reveal their latest home console. The system finally has a name, and that is Xbox One. Yes, the third Xbox system is called Xbox One. If you think that may lead to some confusion, you're absolutely right. It's not a bad name, although there's nothing special about it either. I'm assuming the name comes from Xbox being your all-in-one system, or maybe ONE stands for Online Networking and Entertainment. But nothing was mentioned about the name, they just stated the name and moved right along. So they revealed the console, it's called Xbox One, and it's coming out this holiday. Most likely November 5th, so they can launch alongside Call of Duty Ghosts. Sounds good! That being said, the rest of the press event was a complete disaster. With all of the questions we had going into this event, important questions, because some of these rumors had been plaguing the Xbox for months now, almost nothing was addressed during the event. Will the console be always online? Will it play used games? Will it be backwards compatible? Will the games I bought on XBLA transfer over? Is Kinect really mandatory for the system to function, and why would they make it mandatory for the system to function? Nothing was addressed, nothing was answered. And after the press event, we were left with these unanswered questions, being filtered through video game websites, quoting online magazines while conflicting information is being reported from a Twitter account, which is completely contradicted by a third source, but still, it's all up to the media to find these answers, because at Microsoft's big reveal, they didn't reveal shit. The event lasted a brief 1 hour and then promptly cut to black. Microsoft used the first 30 minutes to talk about enhancing live TV with a side panel on your screen, which you can then control using a smart glass app. Which they're hoping you'll be using your Microsoft Surface, but we all know you'll be using an Android or an iPhone. So 30 minutes talking about who gives a care features, all circling around live TV. Number one, who watches live TV? Besides sporting events, it's all DVR and Hulu. And two, these are nice to include features for a system, but this is the Xbox One big reveal. This is its birth. This is a day that will be remembered in history. And you're filling time with the ability to switch live TV real fast? I could do that right now. It's called an input button. My TV has a bunch of them. It rules. And I don't care about watching TV through an Xbox One. I can watch TV on a TV. In fact, I play games in place of watching TV. So then they showed Forza 5, which is a car game. So of course it looks great. But as it's been said, our car games have looked great for a long time now. So at some point, there's not really a way to compare shiny metal panels versus shiny metal panels. Remedy Games revealed some game that wasn't Alan Wake 2, so who cares? Then EA Sports did about a 15-minute commercial for their 2004 sports lineup, while showing off their target renders, which a target render is only a representation of what the game may look like, but not actually real gameplay. And then they ended with Call of Duty, which was the nicestly done part of the event. It looks good, it looks like Call of Duty, but Call of Duty games haven't been known for their graphics since Call of Duty 4, many games ago. So to show off Call of Duty as your check out what this system can do type game isn't exactly an amazing idea. Call of Duty is less about lighting and textures and more about pwning noobs. And that was it, a really bad press event. When compared to their direct competition, which is Sony's PlayStation 4, it was a waste of an opportunity and a waste of my time. It completely failed to excite or inform me about the Xbox One, leaving me with more unanswered questions after the event than before. Questions like, will the Xbox One require an always online connection? A constant connection? No. Always connected? Yes. What's being reported is if you don't sign online with your account to make a connection with the Xbox servers for like 24 hours, your console will not work, and it will lock you out and you can't use the system. But then as soon as you make a connection to the server, your console you paid for will be usable again and they'll stop treating you like a pirate. Will Xbox One play used games? Kinda. When you buy a new game, not only is it mandatory that you install the game to the hard drive, but you're given a code which is tied to your Xbox Live account and no one can play that game unless you're signed into your account. You can't rent games from Gamefly or Redbox. You can't borrow a game from a friend without using their Live account.
If you wanted to sell a game, you'd have to give up your rights to the ownership and I guess get a new code from Xbox that would be generated by their service, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's a disaster. Microsoft is trying to cut out GameStop, but they're actually going to become GameStop. It's terrible. Will the Xbox One be backwards compatible? This one's easy. No. So don't get rid of your existing system. Also, all of your games on demand and arcade games you bought, they don't transfer over. Your achievement number does, like anyone gives a flying fuck about that. And finally, will Kinect be mandatory for the system to function? So far, this answer is yes. Why they would do this, I don't know. This time they're including Kinect with the system, but that just means you'll pay a little bit extra when you buy the system. So if you don't like the peripheral and you're not going to use it, and you just want to play video games with a controller, too bad, because they're going to make you hook it up anyways, even if you don't use it. And to all of these unanswered questions, Microsoft needs to fix this mess they've made, or the answer is simply buy a PlayStation 4 or start building a gaming PC. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 291.
Still funny.
Still funny, only to us.
You know what also is funny?
What?
Superpower Collectibles!
SuperpowerCollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness, comic book statues, action figures, hopefully My Arrow statue.
I was about to say, let's say you wanted the Arrow statue.
Let's say.
What's it run?
$140.
$140, right? Let's say you went over to Superpower Collectibles and they had it.
That's
and
right.
The chances are like very, very good. I'd say in the high 90s.
Sure.
That they have the product sure. You're looking for. Let's say this is where you decide you're going to purchase your product.
Right.
Let's say I could get it for you for 10 bucks cheaper and no shipping.
There you go.
What are you saying now? Now you're saying Arrow Statue 130.
Right.
Free shipping.
Do it.
Do it. That's exactly the thought process you can have when you go over to superpowercollectibles.com, pick out your product. It may not be the Arrow statue.
Sure.
Maybe it's something else.
Any of the other awesomeness that I have over there.
You can pick it. And when you go to the checkout area, you're going to use coupon code BIGKEV.
That's right.
That gets you $10 off any order of 40 or more.
50 or more.
50 or more. That's what I meant. Because then it becomes 40.
Right. I feel you.
If your order is over $99, you also get free shipping with
the
coupon code.
That's right.
Offer over $1,000, the head of Scapegoat on a stick in front of your house.
I should say that I was looking into some stuff on the website the other day, and I feel as though we may have misrepresented some of the free shipping.
Oh?
The free shipping, I think it's on select items. There's over a certain weight where there's like a nominal fee for the
really?
Shipping. Yeah.
Oh.
You have to check the fine print on the website. But still, it's an awesome deal.
We should get that clarification.
It's an awesome deal. So
yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, if you're ordering, if you're ordering a Sideshow quarter scale,
right. I want to say it's like over 15 pounds. So, I mean, you have to order a lot in order to hit that threshold.
Right.
So
mostly free shipping.
Right. Either way, check out superpowercollectibles.com.
OG, what did we talk about besides Scapegoat not being here on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Warehouse 13 being canceled. The Dinobots may be in Transformers 4. More heroes in Season 2 of Arrow, although I don't think it's going to be Team Arrow. Star Wars Rebel, the new animated series on Disney XD coming in 2015. The Halo Xbox TV series and Xbox One.
Produced by Steven Spielberg.
We also took a voicemail regarding some Doctor Who stuff. And Kevin gave his stern opinion.
Thoughtful and provocative
opinion.
Of Star Trek Into Dark Ass.
Right. And I think that's what we talked about. Comic books this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a segment too.
I know.
Yes, we talked about comics. We talked about Dark Horse picking up the ElfQuest license.
That's right.
He's going to bring that back and finish it. The quest has an end. Our friends Art Balthazar and Franco doing Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Right.
Book you should check out. And comics this week included Daredevil number 26, Lil Gotham number 2, Batman Beyond number 16, Batman Incorporated number 11, Batman the Dark Knight number 20, Talon number 8,
Star Wars Legacy number 3, Arrow number 7, Justice League number 20, and Superior Spider-Man number 10.
nice. And also, in Bookie Books, we mentioned the colored edition. Oh, sorry. Color edition.
Terrible.
I'm not terrible. I changed it because of you. Oni Press presenting Scott Pilgrim Volume 3.
Scott Pilgrim versus racism.
Yes. Scott Pilgrim versus America. Now, Volume 3 by Brian Lee O'Malley. This is the color edition. It's going to run you $25. You cannot not get it if you're a Scott Pilgrim fan. It's amazing.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episode posts, links to the Facebook page, the YouTube channel, the message boards. Also, the news bloggy section of the site is up and running properly, so we've been posting news stories over there all week, press releases, trailers, toy news, game news, all sorts of goodness. So be sure to check all of that out. Comments turned back on the website. I walked down that road. And so far, you have all been treating it well. Well, no, spam has been down. We have the spam blockers in place.
Nice.
So please feel free to leave comments on all of the posts, episode posts.
Were we getting bad comments or no?
No, it was spam. It was a lot of spam. So that is working. So please check that out. Of course, also, please don't forget to check out our Amazon associate link. Again, you guys are doing a great job supporting the show through that link.
Yeah.
And we greatly appreciate it. Also, we're going to talk about it a little bit more next week, but a new sponsor on the show and some new contests coming this way.
Ooh.
From Outsmart Originals, the t-shirt company that
we like
their product a lot.
Uh-huh,
they put out some great t-shirts from some great artists and friends of the show. So we'll talk about them in the coming weeks. Also, next Wednesday is the last day to enter that vinyl DIY Yo figure.
Yeah.
That contest is going on. On the Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
We're going to extend that to comments on episode 289 and 290. So continue to do that.
Nice.
And I think that's it.
And in that case, OG, I will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way I end all episodes, by saying good night, Ray Manzarek, wherever you are. I bet you thought I was going to say scapegoat, didn't you?
And on that note, we cue the music.